Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? You are wonderfully holy, amazingly powerful, a worker of miracles." Folks, God does not just operate in the natural realm. New Testament Christianity is connected to supernatural intervention. And while on earth, Jesus provided information, keys to obtaining supernatural access and miracles for our lives. Now, one of the definitions of the word supernatural means beyond and above the natural. And this is where God operates. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, Jesus said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible." And if you're happy about that, give God a hand of praise to confirm his word. Now, the Holy Spirit told me as I was preparing this message to say to Christians, you are living below your spiritual inheritance when obtaining miracles. In Romans chapter 8 and 32, it says, "God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered Jesus up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" You see, God gave no limitation in the things that we could request in prayer. However, we must always yield to his will and purpose for us. And Jesus Christ is our best example. He prayed three times, "Not my will, but your will be done." And let me just say this, you don't want anything God doesn't want you to have. It's one of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make in your life if you keep pounding on heaven's door to give you something God is trying to lock you out of to protect your life. Now, some people just pound their way through and even bust it through. But once they get on the other side, they are doing their best to get out of it. And that's the truth. Some of you right now, you're not with the right person and you want to marry them regardless of what the scripture says. The scripture is saying, no, you're unequally yoked. Don't do it. And you're trying to bust the door down. I'm talking to believers. Listen, follow the word of God. God has another person. God has the right person for you. Let the church say amen. Jesus said, when we're flowing in the will of God and we understand that default scripture, we should pray the will of God, thy will be done on earth even as it's being done in heaven. Then Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, because everyone who asks will receive. You see, it's God's will to answer your prayer request. Jesus provides us with spiritual revelation and receiving miracles as well. And this is why I want to share with you seven facts that he stated. Number one, the God of the Bible is the author of miracles. Miracles don't just happen. In Psalm 77 and 14, it says, "You are the God who does miracles." You see, he is the creator of the universe, of all living things, and he is the possessor of earth and humanity. Even those people who are running from God, those who are ignoring God, they still belong to God. And I don't mean in the salvation way, but I mean he owns them. He decides what will happen to their lives. In Psalm 24 and 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all of its people belong to him. Now, there are many religions in the world today. Some estimate the number exceeds 4,000. But I want you to hear what God boldly says, and this is in Isaiah 46 and 9. He says, "For I alone am God. I am God, and there is no one like me. Only I can tell you the future before it happens, and everything I plan will come to pass." Well, what are we going to do with all those other gods? Well, God proves that he is the only true God. And one of the ways that he proves this is through prophecy. You see, God made the Bible supernaturally unique so humanity would recognize it was different from every other book. In fact, the Bible was written over a period of 1,500 years by more than 40 different authors from all walks of life on three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. It was written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, on hundreds of controversial topics that have to do with our behavior and what we think we should be able to do and not do. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, it gives us an example. Listen to what it says. "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters," those are people who worship other religions and gods, "nor adulterers, nor people who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Fulfilled prophecy is powerful evidence that the Bible's origin is divine and not human. No other religion has specific, repeated, and unfailing fulfilled predictions many years in advance. Yet there are people who believe them. You know, some of the things were prophesied 1,000 years, many of them hundreds of years before they took place. In fact, the Bible contains over 2,000 prophecies, including some 300 prophecies about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there are no prophetic failures found in the Bible. Mathematicians have calculated that the odds of Jesus fulfilling only 8 of the messianic prophecies, they actually set it to number as 1 out of 10 to the 17th power. That's a 1 with 17 zeros. That's something that shouldn't happen, in other words. Someone has illustrated that this is equivalent to covering the entire state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet deep, marking one of them, mixing them all up, and having a blindfolded person select the marked one at random the very first time. Folks, the Bible has been read by more people and published in more languages than any other book in history. I'm talking about the God of miracles. So you need to understand the true source of all miracles is really from God. Number 2, God provides miracles for his children. And when I say for his children, I mean those who believe and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. This is something to remember. God does relationship through covenant and not by favors. I'm going to say that again. God does relationship through covenant, not by favors. Now, a covenant is literally a contract. And in the Bible, it's an agreement between God and his people. God makes promises to his people. And usually, well, we know, he requires them to conduct themselves in a certain way to receive those promises. belief and acceptance in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as Savior establishes our covenant relationship of God and His blessings. In Hebrews chapter 12 and 24, it says, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant between God and people. It's important for us to realize because of sin, God will not hear our prayers. We were all born in sin, in need of a Savior. We were all sentenced to the lake of fire and judgment for all eternity. Isaiah 59 and 2 talks about our separation as sinners from God. It says, your sins have separated you from God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. There's another good scripture about this in Psalm 66 and verse 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I can't just act any way I want to act and disobey God and expect Him to hear and to answer my prayers. What I'm saying here is Jesus Christ came to be the mediator between God and humanity. He did it by dying in our place. He died for our sins. And all who accept Him are forgiven by God and become God's spiritual children, God's sons and God's daughters.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. In this changing world, it is more important than ever to connect with the wisdom of God's Word. The Bible tells us, how can a young person keep his life pure? He can do it by holding on to your word. I wholeheartedly search for you. Do not let me wander away from your commandments. The Bible reminds us that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word never changes. Many want to conform to this world's system to be accepted. However, God provides the right counsel and wisdom for life. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that is alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
In Matthew chapter 9 and 6, Jesus said to a paralyzed man, arise and walk. If the man had continued just sitting there and looking at Jesus, nothing would have happened. But we know what happened. He had to put his faith to work. He had to put his hands down. He had to physically push himself up. And the Bible says when he began to do that, all of a sudden he could get up and then he began to walk. In Luke chapter 6:6, there was a man whose right hand was withered. And Jesus looked at the man and said, stretch forth your hand. And so the man with the withered hand, he lifted it up. Maybe he needed that other hand to do it. But he did exactly what Jesus said. And when he did that, the Bible says his hand was instantly restored as the other hand. In John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man that had been blind from birth. So he went to the man and he spit on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And then he told the blind man, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. There's some details left out there. This man was still blind. He had to find the pool. Maybe he went searching and touching and look, the man could have said, it's apparent, Jesus, that if I knew where I was going, I would need healing. But instead, as soon as Jesus said, okay, I've done this for you, now go find the pool. Wash your eyes in the pool. See, many times we leave out some of the most important details about healing. You have got to do something. Don't expect God to do it all. You have got to respond in faith if you want to be healed. Some people expect when someone anoints them with oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith that will save the sick will raise them right up. You've got to do something. Number one, you've got to believe it happened. You've got to believe I changed when this prayer took place. That man said, okay, let me find a pool in a hurry because that's the next step to my healing. I've got to wash out the dirt from my eyes. Yes, the same eyes that could not see before, but when I wash them out, I'll be able to see. I will be able to see. He found the water and he washed his eyes out, the Bible says, and he came back seeing. Some of you would be healed if you simply do more than wait for somebody else to lay their hands on you to say you're healed. If you have a pain in your body, you need to search that pain. Is the pain still there? If it's still there, work it out. No, I'm healed. You can't stay. Did you hear the scriptures? It said, by his stripes, I'm healed. Get out. Pain, you've got to go now. I got pain in my leg. Yeah, he just prayed. You know, sometimes you'll see me pray for people. And I say, now let's walk. You know why? Because you've got to do something. Don't listen to your body. Listen to the word of God and do something for goodness sake. God said, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. He said, be prayed for and believe and see if God will not perform a miracle. It's so important that we do this because we've got to activate God's spiritual principles of faith. During healing crusades that I've attended in the past, I sometimes would pray for people in the wheelchair section. Well, I prayed for this elderly woman who's in the wheelchair. And after I prayed, I was so impressed. Immediately she tried to get up. She didn't wait. We prayed. I mean, the woman hardly said a word. She was just sitting there and we prayed. And then she just started to try to get up. She got up, she started leaning against the wheelchair and pulling the wheelchair with her so that she could stay standing. She kept doing this, dragging her legs as the wheelchair was in front of her. And as she continued for a minute or so, and all of a sudden, she began to do it better and then better and then better and then better. And then she started to walk, and at the end of that crusade, she pushed her wheelchair out. That's what I'm talking about. You got to do something. Don't say, well, I still got a headache, preacher. Well, the pain is still here. Your prayer didn't work. Why don't you put your hand right here, right there? You touch here. You touch here. You didn't touch here. This is where, put your hand where the pain is. No. Put your faith. Put your faith in God. And believe and do something. And you'll see that God will answer your prayer. Let the church say amen. Number five, to receive your miracle, begin to confess your expectation. And I'm going to stop with this one because I have a lot more to say about the next. So to receive your miracle, begin to confess your expectation. See, the Bible tells us that faith has a voice. Faith will begin to speak your expectation. Where are you going? I'm going to be healed. When I get to that church, I'm going to be healed. I've been praying in my prayer closet. I know the word of God. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to the church. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to let the prayer of faith be prayed. I'm going to have the anointing oil come upon me by the man or the woman of God. And I'm going to believe that I've been changed. I've been healed. See, the Bible says that when we do this, then we are establishing God's principle of healing. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Speak what you believe, folks. Most of us speak what we feel. We speak the circumstance, and that's the problem. You're reinforcing the problem when you speak the problem. Speak the change. God wants you to speak the change. See, that's what's supposed to be happening. The Bible says in Job 22 and 28, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. God reveals to us once again how faith is key to our miracles. And I want to read this to you in Matthew 9 and 20. It says, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I will be made whole. She did that, the Bible says, and Jesus turned about and he saw her and he said, daughter, be of good comfort because your faith has made you whole. Once again, whose faith? Her faith. The Bible tells us in another place, Jesus didn't even know she was coming for prayer. He just felt virtue leave his body and he said, who touched me? The disciples said, you got all these people touching you, Jesus. Come on now. You're going to tell me you can discern a certain person when you've got all of these people? He says, virtue has left me. Somebody's been healed. But it wasn't because of my faith. It was because of their faith. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. And the woman was made whole that very hour. But I want to go to another reference in Mark chapter 5 and 27 and show you that the woman was making verbal faith confessions before she got to Jesus. See, she said what she expected to happen before she touched the robe. In Mark chapter 5 and 27, it says, when she heard of Jesus, then she came in the press behind to touch his garment. Listen, for she said, the first scripture we read, she said to herself, but here it's saying, she said, she actually said it. She heard of Jesus and she said it. If I can get to his robe, she said it, I'll be healed. Some of you need to get healed by your mouth. Your mouth needs a healing before your body needs a healing. You need to confess the healing before it happens. See, this is why Jesus said to us, if you believe when you've prayed that it's already happened, then you will have it. Check it out. That's what it says in Mark chapter 11. Believe that the things you've asked for, you have them, and then you shall have them. God wants us to see faith on a whole nother level. Believe that you have. Confess that you have what you are asking for, and you shall have it. Your faith confession is just as important to your miracle as you knowing that God was going to give it to you.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of today's message is, Are You Living Below Your Spiritual Inheritance? Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and I don't know what you're going through today, but perhaps you're feeling just a little bit down. Others are feeling really depressed. I want to pray a prayer that God will strengthen you, that His hope will brighten your soul and your mind, and that joy will come into your heart right now. Father, your word says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me. Father, I pray right now for people who are feeling sad. People are feeling depressed. People are just feeling down because of some situation, some circumstance. I rebuke the attack on their lives. And Lord, Father, I pray for the joy of the Lord. Lord, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Let their joy return. In the name of Jesus, strengthen them, help them, bless them, be with them. We just thank you today for the answer. We thank you that all is well. Bless them and bless their families today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.